All right, Alexander, let's talk about Brexit. The EU kind of hinted that Brexit now has been extended. The talks have been extended. But from what you tell me, this is not true. And Boris Johnson is moving ahead with Brexit. So what is going on? Who's telling the truth and who's fibbing?
Well, in a word, the European Union is fibbing. I'm sure that is not going to come as a great surprise to our viewers, but that has been the consistent story right the way through. Let's just recap and understand where we are, because there was a lot of disinformation being peddled. I don't think it reached Britain very much. I think people in Britain are more familiar with this, but people outside Britain, in the United States and in the rest of Europe, might have been misled by some news stories that I saw circulating in all sorts of places, including Zero Hedge, by the way. Briefly, as we know, Britain left the political institution of the European Union in January of this year. This is after protracted negotiations. This is after every conceivable attempt by the Remainer establishment in London to derail it, to get us to go for second referendums and all sorts of things. It was also after massive obstruction by the European Union itself and by the bureaucracy of the European Union. And it was also partly, as it now turns out, the result of collusion. There was collusion, it turns out, between the Remainer establishment and the European bureaucracy, with Tony Blair playing an absolutely central role. He was telling the Europeans, dig in, don't give anything to the British. That way we can force the British into holding a second referendum. He gave them the wrong advice. The Europeans followed it. They stuck to a very hard line. They were seeking to lock Britain in indefinitely to the economic arrangements of the European Union, saying that, you know, using this pretext that, you know, it would cause problems in Ireland and that if Britain simply left, and they managed to bully Theresa May into agreeing that there would not be any problems with Ireland and all of that. Nonetheless, in spite of all of this, in the end, we left the political arrangements of the European Union, and we left them in January. Then we have got now to negotiate the long-term economic arrangements. Or when I say we have to negotiate, I mean, we don't have to negotiate anything, but there is supposed to be a year. There was supposed to be a year from leaving the European Union itself until the end of this year, when long-term economic relationships were going to be negotiated. And Boris Johnson, who was the pro-Brexit prime minister, who was elected with a big majority in December, said that we're going to leave the economic arrangements of the European Union completely at the end of this year, unless an agreement is reached in the meantime, which will respect Britain's sovereignty and independence and its ability to manage its economically its own affairs, to make trade deals with other countries, and to regain control of its own resources. That was what he said at the beginning of this year. Now, the Europeans didn't take that seriously. They, again, negotiated very hard, or rather, in fact, I put that wrong. They didn't really negotiate. They did what they always do. They made a list of demands. They demanded that Britain continue to abide by certain decisions of the European Court of Justice. They demanded that Britain accept European rulings on state aid to industry. They demanded that Britain agree to certain European policies on regional policies. They also demanded that Britain make massive concessions about fisheries. And this is a very sensitive issue, because Britain... there are large fisheries areas in the seas around Britain. And what the European Union was basically saying was that it wanted unrestricted access to all of these, exactly as if Britain was still in the European Union. And this has been a major issue, with the British saying, well, obviously not. These are now going to be our seas. You can't have unrestricted access in the way that you did before. but the Europeans have been insisting on it. Now, fisheries is not a huge industry in Britain. It's not, it doesn't employ large numbers of people as it once did, but it is still a very sensitive issue. It's conceding, if you like, control over your own waters to another country, to another group of countries, to the European Union, which effectively infringes your sovereignty. So the British said no to all of this. They said, no, we're not prepared to do that. What we are looking for is a free trade agreement on Canadian lines. We are not interested in these kind of complicated arrangements that you insist upon. You must accept that we have left the European Union, that we are not going back, and that we're not prepared to enter into long-term, indefinite arrangements of this kind, which would still leave us attached to the European Union and subject to its policies as if we had never left. Well, the Europeans didn't understand that, and they persisted. And of course, once again, the same Remainer elements establishment in Britain that was agitating last year to keep Britain in the European Union has been again agitating and telling the Europeans to take a hard line. Now, there was a European Council meeting last week. The original plan from last from January was that the agreement, the trade agreement, the long-term trade agreement between Britain and the EU would be sorted out by the time of this European Council meeting. So it'd be ratified then, put before the British Parliament, and everything would be sorted out before the end of the year. That didn't happen. So what happened instead was that because that didn't happen, because there is no agreement, Ursula von Leyen and the European Commission said, you know, there's going to be negotiations are going to continue. And they gave everybody to think that there is going to be another extension and that these negotiations are going to go on beyond the end of this year, and that this arrangement, that Britain will leave the economic arrangements at the end of this year, will somehow be extended, and that these negotiations will go on indefinitely, with Britain continuing to be locked in, as it still is to a great extent, within the European Union's economic structures. The British never said anything of the sort. That fibbing, to use your expression, lying, some people might say, provoked Boris Johnson into coming onto British television and saying that now a no deal is looking increasingly likely and there will not be an extension beyond the end of the year. It has been the story of these negotiations right from the first day of that, of the day after the 2016 Brexit referendum. The Europeans have never accepted that Britain is really leaving. The Remainers in Britain have never really accepted that Britain is really leaving. They make unacceptable demands of the British. They refuse to compromise. And the result is that we're going to end up with the very no-deal scenario that the Europeans say they don't want, that a lot of people in Britain, including Leavers, in fairness, say they don't want, but that's where it's heading.
Yeah, but there's no more time to negotiate.
No, there isn't any more time. And in fact, in fact, this is one of the points that Boris Johnson said. There's been no real progress in the negotiations. So given that there's been no progress in the negotiations between January and October, what prospect is there of a change between October and, well, the end of the year, which is now only a few weeks away? Remember, we've got the Christmas holidays coming up, the Christmas vacation. I mean, it's simply not realistic anymore. So the one possibility that some people are talking about is that one side or another is going to blink and, you know, concede. I cannot see how the British can do that. I think if they do that, Boris Johnson as Prime Minister is toast. So I don't think he's going to do it. I think he saw what happened to Theresa May. I think he's going to stand firm. And frankly, I think the Europeans are in no position now to capitulate either. So a no deal Brexit now looks like a real possibility at the end of this year. I say a real possibility. I'd say it was a virtual certainty.
So at the end of the year, that's it.
It's over.
The whole Brexit thing is the book is closed on it.
The book is closed. It's finally done. It has taken more than 4 years. We're now in the fifth year of negotiations and discussions since that Brexit referendum 2016. There's been massive amounts of attempts to slow the process down and to reverse it, but it's failing. It's now, I think, a virtual certainty, unless, you know, there's a coup in London or something of that kind, that by the end of this year, Britain will be fully out of the European Union, both its political structures, which it left in January, and its economic ones. And we will be in a no-deal Brexit with Britain trading with the EU, as Boris Johnson said, like Australia, on World Trade Organization terms.
I was just going to ask you, the only possibility to keep this thing going would be for Boris Johnson to leave off.
A coup in London. Not important.
Is there a possibility? I've heard.
Yes, there is. I mean, there's always murmurings of that kind, and we should not discount that possibility at all. There's been a concerted attempt over the last few weeks to build up Rishi Sunak, who is the Chancellor, the Finance Minister, in other words, and to build him up and to make him an alternative to Johnson. Now, what Sunak's views about Brexit are, I don't know. He's keeping very, very quiet about those. And he's trying to basically position himself as the champion of those people who oppose the lockdowns. So he's trying to win support that way. But it is a fact that I've noticed that many of the Remainer media, The Guardian, The Financial Times, are quietly rooting for him. They're quietly rooting for Rishi Sunak. Having said this, I think that Johnson is nonetheless reasonably secure. I say that I'm not impressed at all by the way he's conducted things on many issues, but I think that the overall overriding political imperative in Britain, amongst the English electorate, amongst the within the Conservative Party, is to see Brexit through. And I think they realise that Boris Johnson has to be the person to do that. So I think he will see this through, and I think we will be out. But, you know, there's been so many twists and turns in this story that a coup of some kind cannot be completely excluded.
All right. So 2 months and change. 2 months and change for Boris Johnson to make it, right?
Absolutely. Exactly. And my own view, actually, and I'm going to just finish by saying this, I think that Johnson's problems will begin to increase after Brexit is out of the way. I think that there are people in the Conservative Party who are unhappy with him for all kinds of reasons, but they're not going to move against him because they need to see Brexit through, and he is the guarantor of it. From his point of view, he knows that if he doesn't get Brexit done before the end of this year, he will lose the support of those same people. So he has to get it done. They need him to get it done. And I think together they will see it done by the end of this year. What happens next year is another matter. The Conservative Party is a notoriously unsentimental organization. But for what it's worth, I still think that Johnson is going to survive.
Step by step, let's get Brexit done first, and then they can deal with what's coming next.
Yeah. They can deal with Johnson or not, as the case may be.
I agree. I wonder what our viewers think as well. But yeah,
indeed. Absolutely. I mean, you know, they're welcome to say. I'd be very interested. We always follow what our viewers say, by the way. We're always very interested. But that's my assessment of the situation. Boris Johnson's address was very clear, very strong. And I think it's come as something of a shock. I think that there's a lot of disbelief around that he really means what he says. I have no doubt that he does. I think he knows that his political future depends on it. So I think that there's no doubt at all that we are going to we're going to see a no-deal Brexit at the end of this year.
All right, great. We'll leave it there. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Guys, please subscribe to the channel. But more importantly than that, please go to PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar and join us there. $4.99 a month. Become a member. We're going to be adding all kinds of exclusive content there. We've got a lot of stuff lined up. Let's get everyone on there, because YouTube is being really, really hard on us and anyone that talks about the presidential candidate that doesn't know he's a presidential candidate, thinks he's a senator. But they're coming down really hard, guys. So let's get everyone that can for $4.99. Join us on PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, and I'm going to create something for PayPal as well. And we're going to try to work it so that we get exclusive content to everybody that's there, and as well as getting free speech videos out on Library, Odyssey, BitChute, Red Pill videos. Now, Library Odyssey, just want to say very quickly, is actually the same site, but Odyssey is just for videos, and Library has videos, documents, photos, and all kinds of other stuff. So I would say just go to Odyssey. You'll find all these links right under this video, and follow us there. It's actually a really, really well-designed site. Really well designed, a really nice comment section as well. Probably a better comment section than what YouTube has. So follow us there as well. And of course, BitChute. Join us on BitChute as well. And very, very quickly, Alexander, before I leave it to you and you can talk about our merch and our mugs, let me announce the winner of the Patriotic Legacy contest for the pink Patriotic Legacy, for the breast cancer awareness pink color, the Beacon 3. And the Duran USA mug is going to Audra in Australia, in Canberra, Australia. That is Audra. Patriotic Legacy will be in touch with you so they can get you that Patriotic Beacon 3, the pink color, along with a USA Magic mug. So congratulations, Audra, on your winning that contest. And of course, Patriotic Legacy has their new contest for that flashlight, the Black Patriot Beacon, along with a Duran shirt. You will see that picture of the shirt right now on your screen. That's the new contest. Use the code Duran20 at checkout. You can win that Black Patriot Beacon with a Duran shirt. That is the contest right now. Alexander, we got to get everyone on Subscribestar. Awesome. Subscribestar is really good. Patreon, also good. And I'm going to create a subscription part on our site as well, with PayPal and with regular credit cards. So that is coming very, very soon. $4.99. That's a cup of coffee, a cup of tea. What else can you get for $4.99 every month?
You won't get anything as good as what you will get from us. Can I just put it like that? I mean, you will get wonderful analysis, and of course, we will be able to talk in a forthright way. I mean, sometimes, as many of our viewers will have noticed, we've had to be very careful in our choice of words. I've sometimes spoken about that fact. We will be more straightforward in some of the things we will be able to say. We will be able, as we say in England, I think you say it also in the US, to call a spade, rather than come up with elliptical language about how a spade, is a really a complicated instrument for digging things. So that's the kind of difference that you will get, but you will also get absolutely brilliant analysis. I would remind our viewers that our analysis of lots of topics has been absolutely spot on. It repeatedly gets confirmed from, as the news evolves. You will often find that we have discussed things and they turn out to be exactly as we have said. The reason is not that we have sources. We don't have any sources except the open media ones, but we are both people who have backgrounds with, diplomatic and political families, and that enables us to understand and see things and analyze them in ways which we think are really helpful. So if you come to us and follow the advice that Alex has just said, then, as I said, for a frankly insignificant amount of money, you will get the best analysis, news analysis, there is out there. I say that without any doubt at all.
And I just want to stress that we are going to get as many videos as we can, not only up on YT, but up on Odyssey and BitChute and Red Pill videos. You'll find those links down below. We're going to get really, really good content on those sites. Free speech exclusives. And like Alexander said, we will be able to go off on a lot of topics and a lot of people and a lot of the bad stuff that's going on that YT does not permit us to do. So it's going to be really, really fun. So with that, guys, just look for those links in the description box down below. And also check out our Discord server. A ton of people have joined us on Discord. We have an open chat where you can share memes, you can share GIFs, you can share links. You can say anything you want about geopolitics, politics. I'm on there and I'm chatting with people as much as I can. You get notifications also on Discord outside of YT, which doesn't notify people. Discord will notify you every time a new piece of content that we have goes up. So check us out on Discord. You'll find that link underneath below as well. Alexander, that's it.
Take care, everybody. Very, very quickly before, just to remind you, we've got these amazing, our amazing merchandise. And can I just say, I'm in a very patriotic mood at the moment. You can see I'm wearing a shirt with a British Union Jack. I've got the mug, the magic mug with the British Union Jack. I've got the hat here with the British Union Jack. And I have got another mug here, an enamel mug, one of the best enamel mugs in the world, with a flag of England, which is the biggest kingdom of the United Kingdom. And there is Armenia, Alex?
Yes.
Armenia too, yes. A brave country of which, by the way, we both are very familiar with. And my brother, by the way, travels to it regularly. He's been there. He loves the place very much. And can I just say that I'm also close friends, very close friends, with the leading linguist, Armenian linguist at King's College, Cambridge, who regularly travels not just to Armenia, but to Nagorno-Karabakh. And like our great British poet Byron, loves the Armenian people and speaks their language with complete fluency.
All right. We'll leave it there. All right, guys. Take care.